And we just thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Look at verse 38. Let's refresh this portion again. It says, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered in a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" And the title of the morning sermon is, "Don't Be a Martha." Don't be a Martha. We have this great story here where we can kind of draw out some really great conclusions. But we have this contrast between two sisters, Martha and Mary. And we see Martha's very concerned with serving, with doing work. But Mary decides to just sit at Jesus' feet and just have a conversation, or at least to just listen unto what Jesus has to tell her. And we kind of see a divide here. And it's really important that we kind of understand what the Bible's emphasizing here. But if you would, go to Deuteronomy chapter number 8 in your Bible. Keep your finger there. And go to Mark chapter number 4. Mark chapter number 4. And the reality is that serving Jesus is never bad, okay? So when we look and compare Martha with Mary, we're not talking about Martha doing something that's sinful per se, or doing something that would be looked at as wrong. It's just more that there's one thing that's needful, and you need to accomplish what's needful rather than just what you would like to do or what you want to do. Because the reality is, there's too many things to do in this world. I mean, you can't do everything, okay? You can't have it all. You can't have your cake and eat it too, as it were, right? And when you look at Steadfast Baptist Church, I mean, there's never been a better time to be a part of Steadfast Baptist Church. I mean, we've got great preaching opportunities right now. We've got great soul-winning opportunities. I mean, we've got a Bahamas mission trip coming up. I mean, we have all the kinds of conferences. We have missions trips. We have ministering opportunities. We have discipleship opportunities. We have documentaries that we're trying to work on. We have preaching classes. I mean, there's so many great ways to serve the Lord at this church. Amen. And I mean, the soul winning times just keep adding. I mean, there's so many different soul winning times. There's all kinds of ladies listening to the bulletin that are going to be expecting children. Hey, you can deliver a meal to them. Hey, you can be a blessing unto them. Look, there's all kinds of ways to serve at this church. And it's a great place to be. The problem is that you don't want to get so busy serving and being a Martha that you forget to be a Mary. That you forget to actually read your Bible. Yeah. And my first point of this morning is, you need to read your Bible. Yeah. Because the reality is, if you don't read your Bible, you're gonna eventually tail off. You can do all the serving that you want to do. You can get busy doing all the different activities. You can get all excited about all the conferences. You can listen to all the sermons that you want. But at the end of the day, if you don't read your Bible, you're not going to stick around. It's not all about just the serving. We also, God wants to have a relationship with you. God wants you to have fellowship with him. He wants you to know him. And the way that we know him, the way we have fellowship with him, is through reading the Bible. That's how God speaks to you. You know, when you pray to him, that's kind of your communication towards him. But he wants to communicate to you, and the way he does it is through this book. Amen. It's through God's word. And when I get up and preach the Bible, I try to use a lot of verses and a lot of scripture, but you're really not getting a good diet if that's all you hear. You need to constantly be reading your Bible on your own. And let me point out some reasons why. It says in Mark chapter number 4, it says in verse number 5, it says, And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. So this is the parable of the sower. We have a man who's traveling. He's tossing seed in different places. He says some of the seed falls on stony ground. So it springs up, But because it's in the stony ground, it doesn't actually build any roots. And because it doesn't have any roots, eventually the sun's going to cause it to, you know, wither away, or something bad's going to happen to it. And the problem was the roots. The problem that it didn't have strong roots, that it was easily just cast aside. And you say, what does that mean? Well, Jesus actually just tells us exactly what this means, okay? It's great in some of the parables where Jesus just tells us exactly what he's trying to tell us. But in verse 14, it says, the sower soweth the word. So every time the seed was being cast out, that's the word of God. Now, there's a lot of things you can learn from the parable of the sower. One is kind of a secondary application, but from a secondary application, you can see salvation, because the ones that are tossed by the wayside, they don't believe and they don't get saved. And the latter three, they all get saved because they all believe, they all spring up, they all, you know, have that birth, okay, as it were, as the seed, they're generated. But that's not the primary application of the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower is to try and teach you how you're going to continue to thrive in the Christian life. And the way that you thrive in the Christian life is by having roots. Amen. Now, what am I getting rooted in? The Word of God. Getting rooted in the Bible. You know why people don't stick in a church like this? Because they don't have any roots. They have no idea what the Bible says. They're not reading it for themselves. And then because of the world's temptations, because of the world's philosophies, because of what the world has to say, they're going to think, I don't really want to go to that church. It's not making any sense to me. It doesn't seem to be lining up with the world. Yeah, but if it lines up with this book, does it really matter what the world has to say? You know, I want people to be an independent fundamental Baptist for their entire life, but the only way you're going to do that is by actually reading the Bible. If you don't read the Bible, if you're not constantly getting rooted in God's word, you're just going to fall away. Look at verse 16. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. So it's not like these people don't like the Bible. These people love the Bible. They were excited. They were like, man, did you see New World, you know, Bible versions? Did you see After the Tribulation? Did you see, you know, I saw a pastor, he stood up on the pulpit and he was screaming at people. It's awesome. They were like, this is cool. Hey, they're going out and they're preaching the gospel to a lot of people. Hey, they're traveling the world. They're doing all these things. They see it and they're like excited. They see the word of God. They actually see people living the word of God. It's kind of exciting. But then what happens? It says in verse 17, and have no root in themselves. Well, I've never read the Bible cover to cover. I don't really know what it says. I don't know what Leviticus is all about. You know, Malachi, is that a book in the Bible? Like, you know, Obadiah? What are you talking about? I don't know these things. But because they don't have any root, what happens? And so endure but for a time afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And you know, it's frustrating because these same Christians that get all excited, you know what ends up rubbing them the wrong way? Somebody preaching what the Bible says. You actually show them what the Bible says, and they don't like it all of a sudden. It's like, what in the world? If you're just reading your own Bible, and it wasn't me preaching it, you'd be a lot less offended by the Bible when someone preaches it, wouldn't you? When you've read it for yourself, when you've heard it for yourself. In fact, when you read the Bible constantly, and you're looking at what the Bible says, you want to go to a church where that's what they're saying too. It starts frustrating you when you're going to a church and everything that they're saying is different than the Bible. You start wondering, is this pastor even reading his Bible? Where is this guy getting his sermons from? Is he downloading them online? Is he just getting them out of some commentary? Or is he reading the Bible himself and learning the doctrine himself? Look, we don't want to be so busy being a Martha today that we have no idea what the Bible says. That's how you get led astray. That's how you only endure for a time. You got to actually root yourself in God's word. Now, go if you would. I had you go to Deuteronomy. We're going to go there, but go to Ephesians chapter 3 too. Go to Ephesians chapter number 3. I want to look at a few more places. It's a very important concept for us to get rooted today. Because if we're not rooted, we're going to fall away in times of persecution and times of tribulation. When people are telling you, hey, you know, I don't agree with you. Well, I watched this sermon one time. I don't really understand it, but that's why I believe. look, you're not going to base your sermon, your beliefs on sermons. You're not going to really, you know, in a time of being tested, in a time of being tried, if you don't have an anchor of your soul, the Bible, then you're going to be wishy-washy. You're going to be pushed aside. You're going to fall away in a time of tribulation. But when you've read the Bible for yourself, when you know what the Bible says yourself, hey, you can withstand a little bit of sun. You can withstand a little bit of that wind. You can withstand these things. You're ready to actually take on, and you have some endurance, okay? It says in Ephesians chapter 3, look at verse 13, wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. So what's the context of chapter number 3? He's saying, hey, I don't want you guys to faint when you're having struggle, when you're having tribulation, when you're having some kind of temptation. Well, how are we not going to do that? Look at verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. You know how you endure temptation and persecution? Because you love Jesus. You know how you love Jesus? By reading his word. This is Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. When you start to have more love for the Bible, when you start to have more love for the Word of God, you're actually having more love for Jesus Christ. He's on every single page, my friend. He's everywhere. Every story is about Jesus Christ, all the things that he did for us, his sacrifices that he made for us. It makes your sacrifices seem so petty and small and insignificant in comparison. And the more love you have for Christ, the more you're rooted and grounded in your love for Jesus Christ, the more you can endure the difficulties, the struggles of living the Christian life, of going through the hard things. When you're not rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ, you know what people have to go to? Well, I'll go to the booze bottle then. Well, I'm just going to watch TV. It makes me feel better. Well, I'm just going to call my friend. He's not a Christian or anything, but we just have a good time together. I can call him. I can talk to him. Look, you're going to find some other alternative when you don't make this your root. When you don't make this what you're grounded in, when you don't have a love and appreciation for Jesus Christ, you're going to fall away. Go to the right just a few more pages. Go to Colossians chapter number 2. Colossians chapter number 2. And look at verse number 6. Colossians chapter number 2. Look at verse number 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Notice, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Look, we need to be rooted in Jesus Christ. We need to have a church full of people that know the Bible, that read the Bible, that love the Bible, that love Jesus Christ. That's going to make our church steadfast. It's not about the activities. It's not about all the work. It's not about being a Martha. It's about being a Mary. I need a bunch of Marys in this room if we're going to keep thriving as a church. Because if we have a bunch of Marthas, you're going to get weary of serving. And you're going to be like, why am I serving? Why am I doing these things? And then you're going to fall away in a time of temptation and a time of persecution and a time of struggle. But hey, if we got a bunch of Marys, they're going to stick around. They're going to hear what Jesus has to say. And look, we can always serve more. There's too much work to be done. You can't get all the works done that you'd like to do. So you know what's more needful? For you to sit down and listen to Jesus' words. For you to actually read your Bible on your own. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. And why is this so important? Well, have you ever got something and some cool furniture piece or some kind of playset or some kind of chair, anything from IKEA, and you have to put it together, right? And if you attempt to put this thing together without even peeking at the instructions, unless you're just a savant, you know, you're going to have some problems, myself included. I'm not bad at necessarily putting things together, but even me myself, I always end up realizing, hey, I need to look at the instructions. Every time I start building something without looking at the instructions, I eventually then look at the instructions and realize what I did wrong. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, okay. I have to put it together wrong a couple times, and then I know exactly how to put it together later after looking at the instructions and realizing, oh, these pieces are included for a reason. I always have this mentality, those aren't needed, those are extra. Why would these even be in here? This doesn't even make sense. This piece doesn't even fit together. They're idiots. Why did they put A and Z together? Oh, because A goes to B. I start reading the instructions, and then I start realizing, hey, this makes sense. You know, the same is with God. Christians today, they're constantly trying to put the pieces together without reading the instruction book, without paying attention to what God already told them. And let me tell you, it's going to be frustrating. It's going to be difficult. You're going to have a lot of issues. You need to actually pick up the Bible and look what God told. I mean, do you really think God created his whole creation and just says, hey, just figure it out, guys. Go for it. Just have some fun. Just, you know, throw some peanuts at you. No, he's like, hey, how about I give you an instruction manual how to live your life? Basic instructions before leaving earth is what people sometimes acronize the Bible as. And look, God gave us the Bible to read it for a reason. He wants us to know how to behave ourselves. He wants us to know how to act. He wants us to know our relationship with him. He wants to communicate with us. It's the Bible. And if you don't read the Bible, if you haven't read it cover to cover, you're missing out. God's trying to teach you something. He's trying to instruct you. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. So the Bible tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 8 that God was testing the children of Israel. He was trying to see, hey, will you follow my commandments? What was the answer there? No. But he's also saying, hey, I want you to understand that just like you depend on bread and food every single day, you depend on my words. And notice, not just the good parts, not just the salvation parts, every word. Some people, they say, oh, why are you getting all, you know, upset about people using modern versions? Is that going to affect my salvation? Well, yes, it is, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Well, if I'm already saved, does it really matter? Yeah, because I need every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And you know what? He's going to test you. He's going to see if you care or not. And the people that don't care, they use the HIV. I'm sorry, the NIV. It's the same. It's a disease. It's a garbage. Look, if you don't do it God's way, you're going to struggle. When you do it God's way, it's easy. Think about Jericho. All they had to do was just go around a couple times. You know, go around, blow the trumpet 7 times, all the walls fall down. How hard would it have been to actually go up and try to dig on those walls and try to knock down those walls yourself? On top of the fact that all the enemies would be there trying to throw rocks at you and shoot arrows at you and try to hurt you. I mean, it would have been impossible. It would have been super difficult. If you just do things God's way, he'll just knock down the walls for you. Why you keep trying to do things your own way? Do them the way God instructed you. And you say, well, I don't know what that is. Yeah, you need to read the Bible. Amen. When you start reading the Bible, you start realizing how God wants you to structure your life. God actually tells you how to live every single part of your life. There's not a part of your life that's left out of the Bible. Now, obviously, he gives us free will. He doesn't say you can only eat oranges or you can only eat apples. He gives us free will. But you know what? He tells us how to behave ourselves in every area of our lives. Go to Revelation chapter number 1. Revelation chapter number 1. You know, you say, why don't you just focus on the positive? Well, because I need every word. Why not just eat M&M's every single meal? Or ribeye. I mean, hey, I love ribeye. Ribeye is my favorite part, okay? But you know what? It's needful for me to also have a baked potato with that, all right? And put some, you know, butter and cheese and bacon. You know, maybe a salad if I have to. No, I like salad. But at the end of the day, like, I can't just have one thing. I can't just focus on one little thing. It's going to be detrimental to my health. And some people, they just want the sugar and they just want the candy today. They don't want actually a full course meal. Hey, I want a full course meal. Go try and run a marathon when you've only eaten candy for 5 weeks straight. You know who's going to be good at the marathon? The person that's been eating healthy and exercising and working. Just like the Christian life. You know who's going to be a successful Christian? The person that's constantly feeding themselves on the diet of God's word, of the Bible, constantly reading it. And the Bible even tells us that you're going to be blessed when you read it. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. The Bible says you're blessed when you read God's word. You're blessed when you hear God's word. I don't want to stop you from receiving the blessings of hearing God's word. You know, Martha had an opportunity to be blessed to sit at Jesus' feet, the word made flesh, and she missed out. I mean, just think about that. What if I called you up and I said, hey, I just want to let you know that yesterday you could have sat down and listened to Jesus talk to you in the flesh, but I didn't call you. You'd be like, what? Why didn't you call me? Like, I had an opportunity to be there and do that? Yeah, you're too busy doing something else. Watching TV, going to the mall. Man, I would be really mad. If I went to the mall as opposed to hearing Jesus. Look, this is the literal person. Martha really existed, and she really forgo sitting and talking with Jesus in the flesh to serve. And there's a lot of people today, they get so busy serving that they stop to actually sit at Jesus' feet and hear what he has to tell you. Look at chapter 2, look at verse 1. Look at Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience. So is this church at Ephesus, are they lazy? No, they're not lazy. They're doing all kinds of things. They're doing a lot of works. Notice. Look at verse 5. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Now, he says to remember. Now, how do you remember something? You must have either heard it or read it before. So they actually heard God's word, or they read God's word before. They knew what it was, but they had forgotten. They got so busy doing the works that they're no longer doing, you know, the first works. And that's the reality. Oftentimes when you get so busy and you're not reading God's word, you end up busying yourself in things that aren't that important. Sunday school. The nursery program. Look, churches today, they've got all kinds of works. The food pantry. Well, I forgot that one in the Bible. I forgot when it said to have a food pantry. But you know what? It did tell me to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Why would I want to start a food pantry and forgo the soul winning? Well, because I stopped reading my Bible. That's why. Because I stopped understanding what God had told me. This is why he says in verse number 7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Look, we need to listen to what God wants to tell us. That's how we're going to be on the right path. That's how we're going to have the right works. That's how we're going to make sure that God is pleased with us. Look at verse 29. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith in the churches. Look at chapter 3, verse 6. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Look at verse 13. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I feel like I'm getting a pattern here. Hey, Martha, stop serving and listen to what Jesus is trying to tell you. What's wrong with all these churches? They're not listening to what Jesus is trying to tell them. They're not listening to the word of God. We as a church need to make sure that we're always listening to what Jesus wants to tell us. Look at verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Now, a lot of people use this as a salvation verse, but the real context here is having fellowship with Jesus Christ as those that, hey, Christ is constantly knocking at the door of your heart. He wants you to listen to his word of God. And when you do, you can have fellowship with Jesus Christ, the true God and eternal life. He's constantly wanting to have fellowship with you. But will you hearken unto his words? Go to Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. Let me give you a practical challenge, okay? Romans chapter number 12. Look at verse number 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, if you're here in this church this morning and you don't want to be here, you're not interested in this church, you're not interested in the things of God, you're struggling with the Word of God, you're struggling with some doctrine that we teach, there's some part of the Bible you feel like you don't like, this is my challenge unto you. Write down everything that you disagree with right now, today. Write it down. And then do a 90-day Bible challenge. Read the Bible for 1 hour every day for 90 days. And at the end of those 90 days, look back at your list and see if you transformed your mind. See if the Word of God... Don't listen to sermons. Don't listen to me preach. Don't listen to any... Listen only to the Bible. Listen only to the King James Bible. Just sit down and look. You say, hey, I love this church, but there's a part of the Bible I feel like I don't understand, or there's something that I feel like I just don't quite agree on. Do the same thing. Take the Romans 12 challenge of actually transforming your mind. Why don't you write down the things that you say, hey, I don't understand this. I don't, this isn't making sense to me. I feel like I disagree with this. Whatever it is, and then read the Bible in 90 days, and then look back at your list and see if something changed. Even somebody that loves the Bible, maybe there's some part of the Bible you feel like you just didn't quite understand or you have questions about. Why don't you read it one time cover to cover in 90 days, and then look back and see if you understand it better. Because you need not that any man teach you, but the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and his truth, and is no lie. Look, the Holy Ghost, which abides in you, will teach you the Bible. He wants to guide you to all truth. And if something is true, let me help you out. The Bible will confirm it. God's word will confirm it. But let's not be these churches that are refusing to hear, that are refusing to listen. Why don't we actually transform our hearts and our minds with God's word? Go to Revelation chapter 22, Revelation chapter 22. You say, well, I'm too busy. Okay, Martha. That's too hard of a challenge. Well, just be a Martha for the rest of your life. But the title of the sermon is don't be a Martha. You need to be a Mary and say, hey, Jesus Christ has shown up at my door. Hey, if you don't have a King James Bible, I'll put one in your hand after the service. He's ready to talk to you. He's ready to instruct you. He's ready to transform your life. But are you going to let him? Are you going to actually sit down and choose the one thing that's needful? Revelation 22, look at verse 16. I, Jesus, sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. So it says, hey, the guy that hears, he says, come. You know that is? That's all the soul winners. All the soul winners, they heard God's word, and they're looking at the lost, and they're saying, hey, come, take some of the water. It's free. I'm not even going to sell it. All you have to do is just take it. Are you thirsty? Do you not want to go to hell? And he's saying, come take. But notice who did that? The hearers. The ones that heard the word of God. The people that don't hear the word of God, they're not going to be the ones leading anybody to the free water. Go, if you would, in your Bible to Psalms chapter 119. Psalms 119. You know, you say, I don't understand the Bible. Well, pray to God that he'll open your eyes to understand the Bible. You know, the Bible actually says that. And you say, how come I don't understand the Bible? Well, first of all, because it was written by God, and he's smarter than you. Step one, he's smarter than you. Okay. Step two, you could study the Bible your whole lifetime and not understand everything. Okay. Like, it's an infinite book. Okay. So don't just expect to just read. Some people want to hide behind, well, it's a King James Bible, I don't understand it. Look, it's not the King James that's the problem. You're the problem. This is a very simple, it's in very simple words, okay? Occasionally, you have to look up a word, but that's the case with all the Bibles. I proved that in my modern Bible changes. Even the NIV, they try to use really weird, archaic words that nobody has an idea what they mean. Look, it's a lie. There is no book that's just like, you know, Jan Ran. I mean, but there is, Jesus wept. I mean, how much simpler can it get, okay? Psalms 119, look at verse 18. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Look at what the psalmist is saying. He's saying, hey, please open my eyes. Let me understand the Bible. When I read the Bible, let me see something amazing. He didn't say, open thou mine eyes so I can watch the Noah movie. Open mine eyes so I can watch the YouTube sermon. Open my eyes so I can read the newspaper. Open my eyes so I can look at filth and smut that this world is offering today. No, he said, open mine eyes so that I can behold wondrous things out of thy law. Amen. Notice the blessing comes to the guy that's reading, not serving. And look, I'm not down on serving. Faith without works is dead. That's a whole nother sermon in and of itself. But I want to make sure that we don't go in the other extreme to where we're only serving and we're no longer reading. The reading is the principal thing. It's the primary thing. It's what's going to keep you rooted and grounded in your faith. You know the people that are going to stay in church the rest of their lives? The ones who read the Bible. Look at verse 136. It changed his perspective. 136, verse 136. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. You know, when he read the Bible over and over, he kept noticing there's a problem. The world doesn't like God's commandments. The world's not interested in the things of God. And you know what? It made him sad. That water running down, he didn't pour water. He's crying. He's sad. He's upset that the world is the way it is. Look at verse 158. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved because they kept not thy word. You know, when I look at people that I love, when I look at people that are going down a bad path, it makes me sad. It makes me hurt in my heart that, hey, they could fix it if they would just decide that the Bible matters. If they would just read God's word, it would change their life. Why are they destroying their life day to day? Because they keep not his laws. Because they don't care about the Bible. Go to Acts chapter number 4. Acts chapter number 4. We don't want to be a Martha today where we get so busy just doing so much work that we forget the main thing that we have. It's God's word. That's what's going to transform our lives. Yeah, soul winning, you know, there's nothing like it. Yeah, going to church is great. Yeah, singing praises to the Lord is wonderful. I'm not down on these things, but you say, hey, what's been the one thing, Pastor Shelley, that changed your life? This book. You say, is it a person? No. Is it a relationship you had? Is it a church service? Was it a sermon? Nope. It's just day after day just reading this book over and over and over and over. That's what changes you. That's what ends up making you a different person. That's what actually ends up transforming you. And you know, you can't have it overnight. It's not like you just read the Bible. You can't read the Bible cover to cover overnight. It takes a long time. That's on purpose. Why? God wants to prove you. God wants to test you and see what's in your heart, to see what you're like, for you to build some roots. You don't build roots overnight. It takes some time. But that's why once you build those roots, you don't get ripped out of the ground real easy either. A dandelion, you can just, whew. Why? Because it's meaningless. Go try and rip a tree out. good luck. I mean, that thing is going to be difficult. It's going to take a lot of work and a lot of effort. That's why we see the difference between Christians who have roots in themselves. You say, where are those roots, Pastor Shelley? Are those roots in going to a particular church? No. Are those roots in singing a particular song? No. Are they listening to a particular amount of sermons? No. It's in reading God's word. It's in reading the Bible. That's what's going to change your life. It says in verse 20, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. You know what's going to come out of your mouth? What you've looked at. What you've listened to. When all that comes out of your mouth is NASCAR, I know what you watch. I know what you look at. When all that comes out of your mouth is hunting, is cars, whatever's coming out of that mouth, it's going in, my friend. You can't speak about the things you don't even know, or you just sound like an idiot. So if you sound intelligent about the conversation you're having, it must be that you're feeding yourself with that. You say, why is it that everybody out there just sounds like Fox News? Because the Associated Press gives all the same reports to Fox News as an MSNBC too. It's one source. The government just feeds everybody the same information, the same lies. That's why every non-denominational church, they all share the same sermons, the same concepts, and that's why they all sound the same. It's just literally just robots out there. It's zombies today. They don't even know what to think. But then when you start reading this book, all of a sudden you sound a lot different. There's something different about you. I don't know what it is. Oh, it must be that you know what the Bible says. Go to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Psalms 119 says, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Psalms 119:99 says, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Look, if you think about the Bible all day, it will change how you live your life. What you think about is going to change your life. I don't care what it is that you think about. Whether you think about football all day, change your life to football. Whether you think about the news, you'll just be depressed and hate everything. People that love the news are just so depressed. It's so depressing, the agenda that they put forth. Everything's doom and gloom. Look, from the Republican standpoint, it's just doom and gloom about the Democrats. From the Democrats, it's just doom and gloom because Trump's in office. You know, just because Trump exists as a person, just everything's bad. Just nothing can be good, nothing can be right. If we got our person in place and all the policies changed and every Republican died, then maybe we could possibly have a little bit of bliss in our life. It's like, no. It's all depressing. It's all negative. Look, when you read God's word, it's going to change your perspective. Now, look, you read the Bible, you're not going to turn into Joel Osteen. You're not going to be like, living my blessed life now. You know, everything's just roses. Why? Because there's a lot of negative in the Bible, too. But you know what? It's balanced with a lot of good. It's balanced with a lot of hope. It's balanced with trusting in the Lord. It's balanced with praising God. It's balanced with all kinds of wonderful, great things. There's this great, unique balance that the Bible gives you so you can actually have a right head on your shoulders. Whenever you start not reading when you're not reading the Bible, you got a weird head on your shoulders. You got the world's head. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Look, God wants you to increase learning. How do you do that? Keep reading the Bible. Look at verse 32. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. So if you read the Bible, you're going to increase learning. If you read the Bible, you're going to increase safety. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. If you read God's word, you're going to have understanding. Look at verse 10. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. Not only do you have understanding, you'll have a long life. Look at chapter 7, verse 24. Hearken unto me now, therefore, ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. So we're supposed to listen to his words. Why? Well, look at chapter 8, verse 6. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. Not only are you going to have increased understanding, a long life, you're going to dwell safely, you're going to understand things. Hey, you're going to hear excellent things. You know, the things in the Bible are excellent. They're so unique. And everything you're going to hear is going to be right. That sounds good. That's refreshing. It's not like going to the public school system where it's half-truths in everything that they say. Look at verse 32. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. That's a good verse. Refuse it not. Stop refusing to listen to God's word. Open your Bible and read it. Why? Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. So look, if you read God's word, you're going to have why? You're going to have wisdom. You're going to be blessed. You're going to have favor. You're going to have a long life. You're going to have understanding. What do we got him in this corner? Everything you could possibly desire. What's in the other corner? Whoa. Sorrow. Putting the wrong pieces together. Look at verse number, go to chapter 15. It says in 12, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Here's the thing. You will never on your own think that your ideas are stupid. You think that everything that you think is right. The way you live your life is right. The way you perceive the world is right. The way you live, the way everything you do is just right in your eyes. You know what challenges that? The Bible. Then all of a sudden you look at the Bible and you say, whoa, that's different. Oh, that's a mistake. Oops. And then you have to decide who's right. And let me tell you what, the Bible's always right. But when you don't have a perfect Bible and you don't read it, you have no chance to change. And of course, you don't change in the fact that you think you're right. Everybody thinks they're right. Nobody's going around being like, everything I do is wrong. No, I got it all figured out, man. I'm living a good life. Yeah, I help people. I'm doing good. You'll look at a guy that's a gangbanger that just got released on parole. He's been doing drugs. He's killed people. He's like, man, I just think we should just help people and love people and do good. And you're just like, what? He thinks he's a good person. Look, and I'm not trying to be down on him. We're all wicked. But you only realize that when you read the Bible. You only realize how, you know, evil you are when you start realizing how holy God is and how good he is. Look at verse 31. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. We must humble ourselves and realize we need the Bible. Every person in this room has humbled themselves in the fact that they need food. Nobody looks at food and be like, I got this. They humble themselves and they realize, I need some food. I need to eat. I depend upon it. It is my sustenance. That's how you need to look at the Bible. You need to look at it, wake up in the morning and think, you know what? I need that. It's not so much I want it. Hopefully you do. But you need it. Because if you don't get it, you're going to be like, well, I'm going to go my own way and it's going to be right in my eyes. You need to be challenged with God's word and start realizing, hey, am I really doing this right? Because Martha's in there serving, but what is she even doing? It says she's serving. Is she even doing anything right? Is she even serving in the right way? We don't know. But you know what Mary's doing is good. Mary's got it figured out. Mary's going to listen to what Jesus wants to tell her, and then she's going to have the right instructions. When you get so busy doing things, you have to ask yourself, well, is what I'm doing right? Well, the only way you can know if it's right is if you sit down and listen to what Jesus has for you. Look at Proverbs 28, the last one I want to have you turn for this point. The Bible says, he that answereth the matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. Why do so many people want to tell me what the Bible says and they've never even read it cover to cover? I mean, there's a lot of people in my life. There's a lot of people I know. They've never read the Bible. They'll admit they've never read the Bible. Yet they tell me I'm all wrong about what the Bible says. I'm just thinking like, can I show you what the Bible says? No, not interested. Okay. But you know that I'm wrong. Yes. Okay. I mean, it's just like, what kind of logic is that? You know, we need to actually know what the Bible says before we start critiquing. You say, I don't like that church, but I don't know what the Bible says. Well, maybe you should read the Bible and then tell me what you think about the church. I don't like the soul winning program. Well, I've never read the Bible, though. Well, why don't you read the Bible first, and then you tell us about the soul winning program. You know, I don't like the music program. I don't like this. I don't like that. Well, read the Bible, and then tell me. Because I always give this challenge to people. If I'm doing anything wrong, show me, and I'll fix it. It's interesting. They never, ever want to show me what this says. They want to show me what this says. And I don't care what that says. I only care what this says. And they'll be like, you only care what this person says and this man and this. No, I only care what this says. Show me and I'll fix it. So they never want to show you. Well, you know how people can actually, iron can sharpen iron? If everybody reads this book, then all of a sudden we can start fixing things, right? Look at verse 9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. Look, it's not a good thing to stop reading the Bible. It wouldn't be good if Martha walked in and started ordering Jesus around or asking things. He's like, why don't you just sit down and listen to me first? Why don't you just pay attention to what I had to share with you? We need to make sure that we're sitting down at Jesus' feet and listening to the Bible. Now, let me give you a practical, another practical way that we could look at this, because the most practical is just read your Bible, okay? There's a Bible reading plan back there. I'll show you there's a Bible app where you can get a Bible reading program. Hey, you could just start in Genesis chapter 1. Hey, start in Matthew chapter 1. Start in John chapter 1. Just read the Bible and read it consistently. I think that every person should read the Bible at least 15 minutes a day, period. Now, if you actually want to transform your mind, you might want to kick that up a notch. Because at 15 minutes a day, if you miss a few days, you won't even get through the Bible in a whole year. A year is a long time. If you read it for about an hour a day, depending on how fast a reader you are, you can complete the Bible in about 90 days. So it takes about 70 hours to read the Bible out loud, or 70 to 90 hours. So just kind of factor that in. But let me just be honest with you, because anybody that starts reading the Bible, you'll realize you're going to fail, okay? Like if I say, hey, I'm going to read the Bible for an hour every day, you're going to dip down to like 30 minutes every day probably, just realistically. So whatever your goal is, you should strive to do a little bit more than that goal every day. So that way you have a lot of built-in grace. Grace is nice. It's a lot more forgiving. So whatever goals you have, you know, maybe you're a more disciplined person than I am, and you say, oh, I know, I'm going to read exactly this many minutes every single day, period, without fail. You go for it. But I'm just telling you, me and people I know, you know, if you really want to accomplish something, you need to kind of strive for about double or a little bit more than that, or a little bit more than what you're trying to go for if you truly want to succeed. Let me give you another way to look at this. You know, not just the Bible do we want to prioritize, you know, having a fellowship with, but what about even our family? You know, and Christmas holiday, it can be a time where we spend a lot of time serving and doing a lot of different things. But, you know, more needful than just serving is spending time with those who you love. Jesus didn't want them to just spend all this time serving him. They wanted them to spend time just talking to him and just being with him. He didn't come to be ministered unto, but to minister. Let him minister unto you. You know, and in your family, you can sit down and maybe start a new Christmas tradition where you and your family just sit down and you actually read the Bible. What a novel idea. I mean, it's sad when I think about my family traditions. We never, like, just sat down and read the Bible. My parents never just sat down and just opened the Bible, just read any of it to me, explained anything to me, taught me anything. You know, you as the man of the house need to sit your family down every once in a while, open the Bible and read some of it with them and explain things and talk about it and actually lead your home and be the priest of your home and actually show your children that you care about the Bible. Because you'll sit down your children and do all kinds of other things with them. But what's more needful? How about the Word of God? And you keep wondering why your kids don't care about church and don't care about Jesus and don't care about these things. Well, when did you actually model for them opening the Bible and reading it to them? That sounds like a pretty good Christmas tradition. And look, I'm not here to beat you up. I'm more saying this is a good idea to start. There's never a bad time to start. It's never a bad time to get a new tradition. That sounds like a great one. You know, I would love it if my family would sit down with me and we could open the Bible and read it together. You know, my biggest problem is my family, they don't want to hear the Bible. They're not interested in discussing anything in the Bible. That's what's frustrating. You know you can cure that? Why don't you sit down with your family and start reading the Bible? Then maybe one day you won't be looking at your family being like, why don't they want to read the Bible? Well, you didn't do it with them. Go to back to Luke chapter number 10. I have a few smaller points a couple other things I want to look at. That's the main point. You say, I want to get one thing out of the sermon. Read your Bible. Take the Romans 12 challenge, all right? Write down the stuff you disagree with, don't understand. Read the Bible in 90 days, and then look back at that list. Pray, and pray every single time before you read. Say, hey, Lord, open mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Just pray, and just seek God, and ask him in faith, nothing wavering. Say, God, please teach me the Bible. I want to understand it. Something's going to happen. You say, I don't understand the Bible. Well, do you ever read it? No. Do you ever pray for God to tell you how to read it, you know, understand it? No. It's not that hard. Luke chapter number 10, look at verse 40. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Another thing that we can find in the story is if you want to accomplish the things that are needful, you have to forsake certain things. You actually have to forsake wants. What did Martha want? Martha wanted Mary to serve. Maybe Mary even wanted to serve. But you know what? She had to forsake that in order to sit at Jesus' feet. There's always an opportunity cost. And the reality is sometimes you have to forsake your wants for things that are needful. Hey, I want to go out and just play golf and have fun and eat and drink and be merry. But there's a little thing called money that I have to go and I actually have to work. I actually have to provide for those things. I actually have a family that I have to spend time with. I actually have children that I have to raise. I actually have to have a job or I'm going to lose it. I don't think it'd be cool. I mean, what if I just said, hey, I'm not going to preach this month. I'm just going to go play golf on Sundays. You think y'all would be cool with that? Of course not, right? So I actually have to get to work. I actually have to go and do things. I have to forsake some of my wants in order to provide some of my needs. And we see what Martha should have done is forsaken her want to serve and just sat down and listen. Just sat down to what she needs to do. Go to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19 tells us about a man named Elisha, and he was found by a name by man Elijah. Okay, I kind of emphasize this so you know I'm talking about two different people. But Elijah was coming unto Elisha, and when he met Elisha, he put his mantle on him. And Elisha, he was yoked up with the oxen. He was doing the physical labor. He was doing the work. And Elijah's like, hey, give him the opportunity to come serve with him. And you know what Elisha does? He kills all of his oxen. Just slays all of his oxen, feeds his family, and leaves. And just goes and serves Elisha. That's, talk about forsaking. He just said, you know, the family business, done. We're going to eat tonight. Talk about ribeye, you know, 12 oxen. I mean, a half a cow. Do you know how much food that is? 12 oxen. That's a lot of food. They're having a party. But you know what? He's going straight into service. He's going to forsake, but he had to forsake something. Look at Matthew 19, verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone, this is not just for them, who is it for? And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Notice that the promise of Jesus Christ is that everyone that forsakes something for the kingdom of God is going to be blessed. And look, you can't even forsake Facebook to read your Bible. You can't even forsake YouTube to read your Bible, the newspaper. I mean, what is it in your life that you can't give 15 minutes to the Bible? These guys are forsaking all. They're leaving the family business. That's forsaking. That's some serious stuff right there. And I'm not saying you need to, you know, just sell all that you have and just show up at the church and be like, where do I serve? You know, my first step, get a job, go find a place to live, come to church 3 times a week, then we'll talk. Look, that's not, you know, I'm not asking people to follow me around as a personal guide or, you know, a personal, you know, thing. Follow Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ, okay? But at the end of the day, can you not forsake a few things, a few wants, to actually read your Bible? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When you're seeking first God in your life, he's going to provide for you. He's going to take care of you. But when you're seeking other things, who's going to provide for you? I don't know. The Bible says, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. You know, some people think, well, I never miss a sermon from my favorite preacher. Well, do you ever miss your Bible reading plan? I never miss my Facebook newsfeed. I always know what it says. But did you forsake your Bible reading plan? You know what? Let me make it clear. I would rather every single person in this room, let's say you miss church, don't listen to my sermon and read the Bible. My sermons are not more important than reading the Bible. And you know what? It's not just me, it's anybody. You need to put the YouTube playlist on the back list and start picking up the Jeremiah list and the Ezekiel list and the Isaiah list and start chewing through this. Otherwise, you're going to end up being Martha and serving and get offended eventually. Well, I really like my conspiracy videos. Can't you give that up for the Bible? My hobbies, my video games. Oh, I really love this novel. Put the novel down, pick the Bible up. Stop being a Martha. Oh, I'm just so busy with all my hobbies and conspiracy videos and all the sermons that I listen to and all these things that I'm doing. Stop being a Martha. Pick up the Bible. And look, it's not just read the Bible 24/7. Read it for 15 minutes. Read it for an hour. Can't you give God a little bit of time? He's wanting to communicate with you. Well, if he came in person, I'd talk to him. No, you wouldn't. If you don't read your Bible, you would have been Martha in the story. Where's your heart at? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, last point I have. And look, you can't have it all in your life. We can apply this in everywhere of our lives. You know, you can't make all the Christmas parties. I mean, if 5 people invite you, how are you going to make that work? You know? If you're really popular, look, people that have a lot going on, they have lots of opportunities. You can't say yes to everything. And if you say yes to everything, you know what you're going to do? You're going to neglect the things that are needful. Say yes to your Bible. Say yes to your church. Say yes to your wife. Say yes to your children. Say no to the friend banquet. Say no to all the other. You have to forsake wants. Forsake all the things that you wanted to do and make sure you're taking care of the needs first. Whatever is needful in your life, we need to apply this. Don't be so busy as a Martha that you forsake the one thing. Do you think if we asked Martha, hey, was it worth it to serve? No. Is it worth it to skip on your wife to go do something else? It probably wasn't. On your children? Nah. And look, I can be guilty of this too. Oh, I wanted to listen to so-and-so's sermon rather than sit and talk with my wife, then hang out with my kids, then read my Bible. You know, it's way more important to spend time with those people. Why don't we get the right priorities? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, look at verse 2. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Mary hath chosen that good part. Here's the thing that I like about Mary. She seized the moment. What have we learned so far? Read your Bible, right? We need to make sure we got the right needs, okay? Secondly, you got to forsake certain things in order to get the needs done because you can't have it all. But thirdly, we need to seize the moments of our life. You need to take advantage of the opportunities that are before you and the moments you have and not let them pass you by. Martha had a great opportunity. She let it go by. Mary seized on that opportunity. And we need to seize on the opportunities. We have to go to Acts chapter 8. I'm going to show you some more examples of people seizing. You know, the Apostle Paul, when he got saved, it says, and he straightway preached Christ. He didn't wait around to figure out what to do. He just seized the opportunity. He said, hey, I'm going to go out and just preach Christ. And that's the Apostle Paul's life. He just seizes on every opportunity. He goes to Mars Hill. Help. Let's preach about the unknown God. You know, he's just constantly seizing on the moment, seizing on the opportunity. And there's two different types of people. There's the person that's going to do it tomorrow. And there's the person that does it today, that does it now. And you know who gets stuff done? The person that does it now. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Isn't it frustrating when you preach someone the gospel? Oh, I'll pray later. No, now. Now is the accepted time. Now is the time to seize the moment. You know why? Because the devil might come in and take that which was sown out of your heart, lest you believe and be saved. And you're not promised a tomorrow. You're not promised the next moment of your life. That's why you need to seize the moments that you have. And it's so frustrating with me when people don't take advantage of the opportunities they have before them because of what they're going to miss out on. Well, if I can only talk to you for an hour, then it's not worth it. What if Jesus constantly went around with a timer on his chest, like when he's going to, you know, die on the cross? And they're just like, you're not going to be here for your 35th birthday and your 40. What are we going to do on your 40th birthday and your 50th birthday? Look, just seize the moment that you have with him. And he was in rebuking the Pharisees. They're saying, like, why are we fasting and your disciples not fasting? Why would we fast when we got Jesus here? You know, why would I be so busy cleaning the house when Jesus is here? Your house is already dirty. Just talk to him. He sat down. Okay. It must not be that bad. You know, stop worrying about serving. Seize the moment. Let's look at someone who seized the moment. Acts chapter 8, look at verse 29. Then the Spirit saith unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him. Talk about seizing the moment. Hey, go talk to this guy. You know, he's just running the next door. He didn't wait. He's seizing the moment. Look at verse number 34. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture. Hey, what does Romans 10:9 say, sir? Let me tell you. He's just seizing the opportunity, isn't he? Look at verse 36. And as they went on their way, they came unto certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Hey, you want to be baptized too? Let's seize the moment. Look at verse 38. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. He's like, hey, let's stop right now and let's get baptized. We're seizing the moment. Verse 39. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. Doesn't sound like Philip had that much time, did he? But you know what? He seized that moment, didn't he? What if the Spirit came to him and said, hey, you got about 30 minutes left, and I'm going to catch you away. Oh, now I have no. Oh, just so frustrated. I only have 30 minutes. What am I going to do? Look, he just took full advantage. He just said, hey, I'm going to go run to that guy. I'm going to even start over in the gospel. I'm just going to preach to the same scripture he's at. I'm just going to meet him at his level, right? Then, hey, there's the water. Let's go run. I'm going to dunk you. I mean, can you imagine some guy, you know, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Bam, he's gone. It's like, what was that? I mean, you get baptized and all of a sudden he's just gone. You're just like, whoa. But look, he seized the moment, didn't he? Do you even know if you're going to live to the evening service? Why don't you seize the moment in between? Go soul winning. You know, there was a king of Israel, and he was told by Elisha to smite the ground. And the Bible says he smote thrice and stayed, and the man of God was wroth with him. Look, when you have an opportunity, do it with all your might, too. Go to Matthew chapter 4, last place I'll have you turn. Matthew chapter number 4. Elisha came unto the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? Look, stop flirting with serving God and seize the moment today. Stop flirting with whether or not you're going to read the Bible. Read it. Stop wondering what you're going to do in this life. Just start making some decisions. Get committed to them and seize the moment. Otherwise, the moments are going to pass you by. We read about Philip for a reason, because he seized the moment. You know, there's a lot of other disciples in the Bible we didn't read about. Did they really seize the moment? They're constantly in Jerusalem. Oh, 10 years later, still in Jerusalem. 15 years later, still in Jerusalem. Well, maybe tomorrow we'll go. No, now. Now is the time. And the things that you have in your life, you need to start now. You say, hey, when am I going to start reading the Bible? Now. Somebody's down there, okay, all right, Genesis chapter 1. No, I'm just kidding. Look, We need to get serious about the things of God, and we need to really seize the moments that we have. Go all in. What did the disciples decide? Hey, I'm going to go all in. Let's see. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew's brother, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, and a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Think of the gravity of that verse. I mean, you've been serving with your dad your whole life in the family business. I mean, you're working. You're in the middle of working. And Jesus says, hey, come follow me. They just immediately ran to Jesus. They immediately seized the moment. That's the type of Christians we ought to be today. When we see the moment to serve Jesus, when we see what God said, we just run to his commandment. We just say, yeah, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to follow thy will. Why? What is your life that is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away? Don't be a Martha today. Read your Bible. Don't be a Martha today. Forsake some of your wants. And don't be a Martha today. Seize the moment in your life. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father, so much for your word. Thank you for your great commandments that you gave us. Thank you for this Bible. I pray that we just read it and that we would take it seriously, the job that you've given us, that we wouldn't get so busy just serving, but rather we'd take time to sit down at your feet and just listen to your words. And I pray that every person that would sit down and just listen to your words, that you would just open up their eyes, that you would just open up their ears, that you would open up their hearts, and that you would allow your word to transform their life.